Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and works of charity. Today we gather together to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery, that is to say, of his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city for our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection, in his life. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, sanctify these branches with your blessing, that we who follow Christ the King in exaltation may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him who lives and reigns forever and ever. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may proclaim his gospel worthily and well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples. He said, Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, why are you untying it? You will answer, the master has need of it. So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying this colt? They answered, the master has need of it. So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He said in reply, I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Proce damas en pace.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused your Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
My God. My God, why have you abandoned me? My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? All who see me deride me. They curl their lips, they toss their heads. He trusted in the Lord, let him save him. Let him release him, for in him he delights. Surrounded me, a band of wicked besets me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones. My divide my clothing among them. They cast lots for my robe. But you, O Lord, do not stay afar off. My strength, make haste to help me. Thank you.
tell of your name to my kin and praise you in the midst of the assembly. You who fear the Lord, give him praise. All descendants of Jacob, give him glory. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. My God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming the obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The elders of the people, chief priests and scribes, arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, "We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds, "I find this man not guilty." But they were adamant and said, "He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began even to hear." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." But all together they shouted out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Now Barabbas had been in prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city for a murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate addressed them a third time, "What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children, for indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said to him in reply, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt. When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You be seated, please. Today, this Palm Sunday, we begin, as every year, what is called Holy Week. Holy in the sense that this week belongs to God, the plan of God, the mercy of God, the love of God in Jesus Christ. We began our liturgy at the center of the church, calling to mind the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We continued now with the reading of the Passion, the final chapter of the dramatic earthly life of Jesus Christ. That story that we know so well and that we should read throughout this week again, as we will do on Good Friday, is a dramatic story, a story of liberation, a story of freedom, a story of rescue, that God has come to rescue each one of us from our sins, from our attachments to this life. But it is a story that continues today. We should not read any part of the life of Jesus only in its historical setting, but to understand that he, as King of the universe, lives in us today. His story is our story. Our story is his. And so we see today, even in the land of Jesus himself, and in the surrounding areas, in Africa, other places, the invasion of Christians' homes, where people are tortured and murdered because they believe in this God-man. Their churches burned to the ground. Beheadings on beaches in front of the whole world. And yes, sisters and brothers, genocide of the Christian people in the land of Jesus. That is the story today, and that was the story of Jesus Christ, relived today on a larger scale, our brothers and sisters in the land of Jesus, simply because they profess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God and man, as their King. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, he entered on a colt or a donkey. The donkey in Greco-Roman times and even beyond was the animal of peace. If a king rode into a town on a donkey, it meant he comes in peace. He comes to dialogue. He comes to be with the people. If a king rides in on a stallion, a horse, he comes in power. He comes to dominate. He comes to rule. Jesus comes in peace. On a donkey, a symbol of humility and a symbol of peace. The people hold palms, palm branches, and in some cases, olive branches. The palm, as we know, is a sign of victory. And many of the early martyrs of the church are symbolized holding in their hand a palm branch. To say that they have been victorious over death in the name of Jesus, and they profess him as their Lord and King. The palm is a sign of victory, obedience to God's will. Jesus came as part of a plan, and we know today so many of us plan our lives to such a degree that there seems to be no freedom in our days. But the plan of God in Jesus Christ was to send his Son to be obedient to his will. The will of God for each one of our lives, the will of God for each of our Christian brothers who have died for their faith, the will of God for every human being is to live in peace and to be liberated from their sins and death in Jesus Christ. And that is the victory march of Jesus on the donkey into Jerusalem. He knew what he was facing. He knew that people would oppose him. He knew that his message of forgiveness, his message of peace, his message of healing, his ultimate message of love would be rejected. Think about it today. The message of peace is rejected in favor of war. The message of humility is rejected in favor of power. The message of the palm branch is rejected in the name of the sword. The message of God, the will of God for his people, is again today, as always, rejected. And so you and I you and I come here today to celebrate this Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord, to enter into this Holy Week, not just to walk home with a palm branch in our hands and put it on our walls, but to be here to walk with Jesus this week, but for the rest of our lives, 100%. 100% Jesus Christ. Some of us may be at 30, 40, 30, 70, 70, 30, 80, 20. But I would ask each one of us in this year of mercy that we have such a great opportunity with our holy door, that we relook at our life. Are we 100% disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we proportioned out? I'll give you an hour on Sunday, but nothing else. Or are we at least striving to be Jesus in our daily life, in our family life, in our work life, to be the presence of Jesus today? And that is our vocation. Our brothers and sisters who have made that decision in other parts of the world face death and have even been martyred for that 100% commitment. And so as we enter into this Holy Week, I know I will be reflecting on these two questions this week, and I would invite you to do the same. Do I encounter this week the people I meet, the situations I confront, on a donkey or on a horse? Do I come in peace or do I come to conquer? And the second question uses those same symbols of the palm and the sword. Do I live my life with the palm in my hand, knowing that victory is only in Jesus Christ? Or do I encounter and live this week with a sword in my hand, dominating and wanting only what I want and not what God wants? Donkey and the palm, or the horse and the sword? I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, like true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our God is not far from us, and on this Passion Sunday, we pray for our needs and the needs of the church.
For God's holy church, as we bend our knees and proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, let us pray to the Lord. For peace with justice in the Holy Land, and for the persecuted Christians in every land, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our nation may experience a conversion of heart, and a return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God, let us pray to the Lord. For those who will be baptized at the Easter Vigil, especially those among us, and for all who will receive and be received into the church, let us pray to the Lord. For us, as we experience the merciful forgiveness of Christ on the cross and extend it to all of our brothers and sisters during this Jubilee Year of Mercy, let us pray to the Lord. for those who serve in our armed forces, and for their families and loved ones. Let us pray to the Lord. And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Beatrice F. Castillo, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesucita J. Canales, Delia Farias, and Ruben Moreno, Pete Gonzalez Jr., and Minnie Gonzalez, Jose Cueva, and Jose Gallardo. Let us pray to the Lord. And for all the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts. And for all our intentions spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
O saving and merciful Father, as we enter into this holiest of weeks, empty us of ourselves and bring us closer to Christ crucified, that we may be raised with him in glory. We ask you to hear our prayers according to your will through Christ our Lord.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty God. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that though we do not merit it by our own deeds, we may feel already the effects of yet this sacrifice made once and for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with the angels, we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are holy indeed, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim the death, O Lord,
and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, and with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other some
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fang. rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.